Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The following information for Virgin Australia guests travelling to Adelaide on flight 1448. This aircraft has diverted to Melbourne due to heavy fog on route 2 to Gold Coast.
Good day. Ken Dooley speaking. Sydney Airport Lounge counter. How may I help you?
Oh, good day, Ken. I hope you can help me. I've recently returned from the UK and I've lost my suitcase.
Did it have any distinguishing marks on it, mate?
Oh, yes. It's primrose and blue.
Primrose? Primrose? What are you, a bloody Sheila or something?
It has a very resilient handle. Some would say it's past its sell-by date.
Hang on a sec. Brucey, Bruce. Got some chancer on the phone here. Says he's lost his primrose and blue fucking handbag. Yeah, looks like you're in luck, mate. We found it. Just for identification purposes, fella. Can you tell me what's inside it, please?
Oh, yeah. A best wishes card from 200 delusional happy clappers.
Anything else?
A trench coat with matching cravat.
A what?
I mean a snood.
And?
I'm missing my water bottle. I'm going to be lost in my new job without it.
And what's this CD compilation?
Oh, the best of Rick Astley.
All right, looks like it's yours, mate. Can I get a name from you, please?
Oh, well, yes. My name, it's Stephen
Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with the UK and Australia recovering from unprecedented storms, where are my two podcasting weather patterns? Firstly, he's a high-pressure cycle of statistical humidity. It's Sam Sankey!
Hello, Robert.
And also our very own low-pressure trough. Yes, overcast at the best of times. It's Dennis Waywell!
All right.
Now, it's just turned 7:30, or just coming up to 7:30, boys, in Sydney on Sunday morning. It's what, coming up to 8:30 there in the UK. I normally ask you sort of individually what your days have been like, but I understand today you've met up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had a little management meeting of Watt Bevan with the two most important people. I got given directions to see Dennis, and in the middle of nowhere, it was a bit like American Werewolf in London as I came down into the countryside, and there was an inn at the bottom of the street. But yeah, it's a very nice cup of coffee he made, and I left with a small token of Tiger Gin.
Should just say now, Sam is pointing out that he's picked up a Tiger Gin. He's waving it to me, teasing me. Dennis, is Jenny Agata living at your house then?
In all essence. But it was good to see Sam. He was telling us a couple of stories about what's going on and things. And I believe he's going to give us an impression of a frog screaming, is what he's telling me about today. I do need to do a plug for the sponsor this week... As I said, I was holding on to the Tiger Gin, the Ruby Edition. This is the award-winning Ruby Gin, enhanced with rhubarb. It's pretty in pink, it's 40%. It comes in a clear 70-centilitre bottle, or in our case, 5-centilitre bottle. Anyway, thank you very much for JJ Lawrence. He's the brainchild behind this gin. And I was interested. I went on the website and they've got his scrap line, or his sort of saying, when the odds are against you, give it everything you've got.
Oh. Well,
I don't know about what we've been watching over the last 2 weeks, but maybe we do need a bit of that.
You've become a real corporate man, haven't you, Dennis? Since this sponsor came on board, you're really flogging them to death now, I can see.
Yes, I do believe that Tiger Gin is the future, and I've actually been commissioned to do an advert for them for the next episode.
It is very much like the Papa John sponsorship, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. Deary me. Right, let's move on to the Toulouse match. The Warrington team was Ratchford, Charnley, Metautier, King, Ashton, Riley Dean, Williams, Philbin, Walker, Mulhern, Longstaff, Hughes and Jason Clark. Interchange bench was Cooper, Darrell Clark, Bullock and Davis. Now, of course, the game wasn't on TV. It was a little bit hard to follow this one. But thankfully, my 74-year-old uncle Bob London, who lives down in Saint-Tropez, we sent him along to the game. Here's his highlights.
What a carnival atmosphere down here in the south of France. Or there would be if there was a crowd in. Oh, look, dust off the Steve Price, Coach Emmanuel. It's a kick to the corner for King. Oh, there's bags of space here, bags of space, bags of space for Charlie. Oh, he's in the corner, unopposed. My foster mums could have scored that one. Oh, my real mum, whatever she is.
On the ball. It's a good old-fashioned up and under. Ashton's under it. Oh, he's fucked it up completely. The ball's been kicked on, and some French bloke will score. An easy try. Yes. Oh, and a bit of fighting. Bit of fighting. King. Yes. Too strong. Toby King. Boom.
Yes.
Oh, the cheeky monkey, Machauti has stolen the ball. He's given it to Williams. He didn't fancy it, but Williams is away, and the French resistance gives up.
Toulouse now, coming to the right.
He's done Riley Dean there like a kipper. Oh, he's done Ratchford like a kipper. Double kipper, under the sticks. What's French for under the sticks?
Warrington now, coming to the right. Soft hands, hard hands, all the hands you want. Charlie's in, diving in the corner, 9.9.
Clark at the play of the ball. Oh, that's too easy. You could have driven a bus through there, or a reasonably priced five-door saloon car, like a Ford Mondeo.
Toulouse now, heavily defeated, but camped on the Warrington line here towards the end. Oh, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. Pathetic for Warrington.
Seconds of the game. Toulouse bringing the ball to the... Oh, look at him, he's still going. He's trying to get through four, but there's no chance. Absolutely no chance of getting through that defence. Oh, he's in! He's in for a try! Oh, what a clusterfuck! Oh, that really was shit from Warrington at the end there. Can someone get me a pan of chocolate?
Well, there it is. Toulouse 18, Warrington 32. Move over Bill Arthur, Dennis, I think's the best way to describe that.
I have to say, and we have talked about this doing a commentary, haven't we, before now. You know, we could commentate a game. And I think we've been outdone by your uncle. And actually, it's a lot better than anything we're hearing off Sky Sports. So have you had a call yet?
I don't hear from him that often. I mean, he does have a sort of history of entertainment. In the early 1970s, he was the warm-up man on Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack.
Yeah, that's the one. 5 to 5. His career kind of slid a little bit. The pilot episode for We Are the Champions, Bob London was the presenter. And then about a week before they were meant to record the first series, he strained his wrist playing women's lacrosse for Bramhall. Sorry, not playing, watching. And Ron Pickering took over, and the rest is history. But we'll see if we...
What about his association with Jimmy Savile?
As I said, final score, Toulouse 18, Warrington 32. There were tries from King, two from Charnley, Williams and Daryl Clark. Now, before we sort of move on to the game, we should probably mention again that Dennis was top of the try scoring going into this game. But you suffered an injury, Dennis, scoring the second try.
Yeah, you know what? I think I mentioned it to you in the week. A bit of exuberance at the end of that try. And, you know, showing off a bit. And I've got a twinge in my groin.
So you did miss the Catalans game, didn't you? So you're now on, what, 6 tries this season?
Yeah, and clearly, you know, towards the end of that game, I probably would have been top of the try story like years.
Yeah. But you'll be back for Saints?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Excellent. Now, our coach, who shall not be named, Sam, his favourite adjective beginning with R was resilient, whereas Powell has chosen the word relentless. Oxford English Dictionary defines resilient as able to recover quickly after something unpleasant, such as a shock, whereas relentless means not stopping, not getting less strong. Now, I'm thinking that these two adjectives beginning with R, neither of them actually are appropriate for the game, and we should have run with regressive, returning to a former or less developed state, characterised by regression. Would that be fair? We sort of didn't put them to the sword?
Yeah, it certainly did look like we got a bit of a lead and eased off and seemed like the game was won. And then they nearly came back to bite us, didn't they, at the end there?
Dennis, more relentless than resilient?
It was a bit of a weak relentless, wasn't it, I suppose? It wasn't, you know, that sort of strong. Just read me the resilient one again.
Resilient, able to recover quickly after something unpleasant, such as
like
shock.
Steve Price. Yeah. But yeah, it's good that he's got something relentless. I wonder if it's one of those particular ones that will come back to haunt him as the season goes on. When you know, if we don't see any relentlessness,
something like that. We should say Sam's going to go for a run after this. He's got his jogging attire on. Look at him; he's looking very. Have you lost a bit more weight there, Sam? You're looking even slimmer than last week.
I've not lost any weight this week. No,
plateaued.
No. Definitely.
Are you going to knock on Billy McGooley's door and ask him if he wants?
I think if I knock on his door at 11 o'clock and then 3 a.m., he's got to have a restraining order against me, isn't he?
Yeah.
We should point out that Sam is running, 4 miles and then having a 4-hour break and then running 4 miles again. This is a challenge.
That in itself is a challenge for me, but a friend of mine is doing it over the full 48 hours, so I'm giving him the nighttime support.
Oh, yeah. Very good of you.
I've heard of that before.
Now, before we move on to the Catalans game, lads, because, you know, clearly we're a little bit down this week, I thought it was possibly, and I saw how your eyes lit up last week when I mentioned this, about Robbie Mulhern, a.k.a. Tom Selleck, Magnum PI. Yeah. So I've come up with the Magnum quiz. It's just the 3 questions. It's multiple choice. We'll try and get a winner this week. Question 1. Did you both watch Magnum, by the way? Were you both fans?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. That's good to know. Question 1. In 1969, the thought-provoking marketing team at Magnum Ice Cream came up with a new flavour. Was it A, John Lemon, B, Guava Lamp, C, Candy Warhol, or D, Dave Lee Travis?
That's got to be Candy Warhol.
Oh, Sam?
Lemon.
It was Dave Lee Travis. Question two. In the early 1980s, local Thirlwall ice cream proprietor Mr. Whippy would offer a free magnum to any child,
yes, yeah,
any child that could follow him for 20 stops without losing sight of his ice cream van. How many stops did a young Rob London manage whilst riding behind on his brother's chopper bicycle? Was it A, 16 stops, B, 17 stops, C, 20 stops and therefore I receive my free magnum, or D, 19 stops before the tight arse's fucker sped off with his ice cream van down the A49?
Sounds like the last one, doesn't it? It's obviously bitter. Bitter, bitter. Don't let it affect you anymore.
Dennis is right. And the final question. Come on, Sam, you need to up your game here. In 2017, German tobogganist and part-time tobacconist Adolf Titzoff ejected a cork from an untreated, unheated Magnum champagne bottle to a world record distance. But how far was it? Was it A, 35 metres, B, 54 metres, C, 78 metres, or D, Dave Lee Travis?
54.
Dave Lee Travis.
It's Dave Lee Travis. Dennis,
yeah, he's about 6 foot odd. I don't think the court goes much further than that.
I watched 19 episodes of Magnum this week. Trying to get ready for this.
Are we going to talk about the Toulouse game? Or are we just going to say, forget it?
I think the most interesting thing for me was our friend Matautia taking his little intercept, doing a good bit of interception there, then thinking, can't be arsed running all the way there. Here you go, Williams.
Yes. I think that game was typified by the soft tries, wasn't it? I mean, there seemed to be at least two, possibly three, really soft tries in that game. And, you know, when you think going back to the predictions, we had like, you know, everybody, even the HAL computer was predicting like 40 points to whatever. And actually, we never really looked like we were going to get there. And when you think about it as well, the defence led to them getting how many? Was it 18 points? Mm. Where I think they were predicted to get around about six. Nobody had given them double digits anyway. So there was definitely suspect defence in that match for me.
They just weren't relentless, were they? Like he said, he wanted them to sort of put them to the sword. And we get to whatever, 60 minutes, and we're a long way in front. And then the last two tries of the game, we concede. Mm. So, yeah. Is it fair to say that the coach that shall not be named were missing his defensive tactics?
No, I don't think that's fair. No. Don't think that's fair at the minute, at this stage. I think we're looking forward to more attacking flair, and we are seeing it in patches, but the two do have to go together, don't they? You can't do one and not the other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the Catalans review. Warrington team, a little bit different than the one that took to the field in France. The team was Ratchford, Charlie, Matautier, King, Ashton, Widdett, Williams, Bullock, Walker, Cooper, Curry, Holmes and Hughes. Interchange bench was Darrell Clark, Philbin, Davis and Mulhern. Here's the highlights.
Warrington with some defending to do here. Four tackles gone. Da Costa, Drinkwater, short ball, Whitley. Whitley gets the first try of the game. Widdett, I didn't like that, their left edge. They might well have a reason. It's King goes striding away. He's got Widdett in support. He's got Ashton in support. He's got Ashton in for the try. And Warrington put it together at last. Are we? And then Pierce puts the kick in on the last. And King is underneath it. Oh, King puts it down. The ball is kicked on by Romano. And Romano picks it up and dots it down. Send in the clouds. Garcia plays the ball. Down the short side they go. Pierce! Mitchell Pierce with the drive. Now then, I wonder, yeah, Garcia's looking, I wonder if it's coming. It it's not. It's Drinkwater who puts the little kick in. The ball is free and Drinkwater gets a hand to it. Warrington know he's got the try.
Where are the clubs?
And Warrington looking to point post their first points of the second half, and they will do from Charlie.
Final score, Wire 18, the Dragons 24. Now, before we probably go through the highlights, Sam, let's just have a quick listen to this soundbite from Darryl Powell talking before the game about getting into the opposition's 20.
Territorially, I think we're second bottom in terms of the amount of time we're spending in the opposition 20, but... Yeah, we are scoring points when we're in there, so just need to be there a little bit more. And there's some things that we've been working on to try and tidy that up, so we spend some more time in good field position, which obviously will help us.
Well, that kind of sums it up a little bit, doesn't it? That we are struggling to get the ball down the right end of the field.
Yeah, and I don't think it helps. I mean, he talked about it being a poor overall performance, and he was asked about props and size. I can't remember the exact question, and he basically said, if you drop the ball coming out your own half, it's no good because you're just turning it over. Mm. And we have done that. We did speak about this last week. We have to be not totally clean. You can't go through a whole match without making an error, but you have to be clean in your own half in order to build pressure down the other end. And we did the same against Leeds in the first game, didn't we? But got away with it because they ended up playing most of the game without a full complement.
Hmm. Okay, 14th minute, Matt Whitley goes over easily for the Dragons. Drinkwater converts and it's 6-0. I have it down, I think possibly once, maybe in the first couple of minutes, we got over the halfway line, but it took us to about the 20th minute, Dennis, to actually get into their half, a quarter of the game before we're actually in their territory.
I'm struggling because I've not really been on the, what can I say, the large prop, big forward bandwagon that a lot of people are on. But you have to say, I think this is where it shows. And I think, you know, after the Toulouse match, I'd look at the table and, you know, with the bottom three, the bottom three, who are they now? Toulouse?
Leeds.
Who have we played? Castle and Leeds. None of them have won. And then we come up against Catalan. So there's the first test of the season, you'd think. And then they've got a few players out. We know Catalan are quite big. And then you've just picked out that stat, is that, you know, we're not getting into their half. So straight away at the beginning of the match, it's usually the forwards who are running it up first and this, that and the other, and we're not making yards. Sam?
Yeah, a little bit of a stat there. Based on them having a few out, they actually had 9 French-born players in their team yesterday.
C'est la vie.
Which has got to be a high for them.
The exact words, it was Matt at the Warrington Guardian, and fair play to Matt asked him the question on the lines of, you know, are we missing a few big props? Powell said, we dropped 4 balls in the first half in our own half. We could have the biggest pack in the world, but if we're doing that, we're going to put ourselves under pressure. I mean, he's tiptoed round the question, hasn't he? Like, he's
gone immediately back to him and said, okay, that's fair enough, but at least the forwards would have made the yards, and when they're dropping it, it's in the opposition's half rather than everywhere else on the pitch. So you would still have an advantage.
Are they dropping the ball because they're worried about who's coming up in front of them and they're twice as big as them? You know, I mean, there was on one occasion we did drop one ball where you could clearly see, I can't remember who it was, but one of our forwards was just taking a look at their line and thinking, oh, I'm not having a part of this, took his eye off the ball. You can be intimidated. One of the reasons people drop balls is you do get intimidated.
Mm.
But he hasn't... I mean, he understands, doesn't he? He clearly knows that he's coming to the club and he's a few props short. But he's not going to say that because he's not going to, you know, be disrespectful to the players that he's got.
No, and I think that's the correct word. It's not being disrespectful. because we talked at some length on the previous show. I've not got a problem with any of our, well, let's say Cooper is our best prop at the minute, and of the other three that seem to be vying for position at the moment, Philbin, Bullock and Mulhern, I've not got a problem with any of them. I just wish we didn't have all three, and that one of those three was an Adrian Morley or a whoever. I've not got a problem with any of them individually, but the three together seem to be lacking a little bit of something.
Lacking size. Mulhern and Philbin are not big enough. They get absolutely squashed in the NRL, those two. I mean, Bullock at least has got a bit of weight behind him. You can see as Bullock goes into the tackle, he's still got the momentum going his way. But
I do agree with you about what seems like power, I suppose we'd say. But when we were looking at the previous matches they've played, once they're getting over halfway, they're agile, they've got agility, they've got I wouldn't say they're fast, but they've got a bit of pace, and that augurs well for moving the ball around. But you need a bit of both, don't you?
Oh, damn right you do. Damn right you do. It's not looking good. Those first 20 minutes have started to become a theme amongst Warrington games, is that we are struggling to get off our own line. 26-minute Warrington, as they did all night, throw the ball right to left. King finds space, and as he goes to ground, he offloads the ball to Ashton to score. Ratchford nails the two from out wide, and it's six all. 250 metres run by King, Dennis. I mean, that is our play. I mean, we had kick to the corner from Toby King last year. Now it's throw the ball wide to King this year.
Well, you know, he made his comeback last week because he missed the first couple of games, didn't he? And, you know, nothing special, but nothing too bad. And then in this game, he was like the shining light. He was back to his best by the look of it, and 200-odd metres, wow. It's not bad at all, is it? Sam, you don't look convinced.
No, it's not about his running play. It's about what happened a bit later in the game. He did make a very crucial error, didn't he?
But on that try, though, I think what was quite good about it is that he almost ran into a brick wall, and then he still had that awareness to look round and then find another player. So I think, you know, that's a bit of class, that is.
He's got the size, hasn't he? When it sort of gets to that dead end, he's still got the size and ability to offload the ball. But we had a few comments, you know, people that were at the game said that he should have thrown his ball to his winger a fair few times a bit quicker than he did during the game.
I think he's trying to draw men in, though, isn't he? You know what I mean? To create a bit more space, whether that inside or outside bit, you know. Because he's, like Boudreaux said, he's big enough now.
It's hard to see on Sky cameras because sometimes they go in so close.
Yes.
Yeah. They were discussing this on the Guardian football podcast this week about, you know, the peripheral vision of what you can see and how the Premier League runs with a very tight camera angle. And Sky does as well. If you watch the NRL or you watch Italian or Spanish football, the camera's a lot further back. So they give the people who are watching the game the perspective to see a little bit more of the field. And I'd like to see Sky just pull that camera back a little bit. If you watch rugby union, the camera is positioned a lot further away from the field if you watch the game. And that's why when they take conversions, it looks like they're kicking them from a mile away. You know, whereas you're almost on top of them when you watch rugby league.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's the Rob London porn director's viewpoint. Thank you very much.
We turned off Louis through this week. It was filthy.
Oh, dear.
Right, 47th minute, Toby King drops an up and under. Ashton, rather than picking up the ball in an offside position, decides to put his arms in the air like a fucking hen trying to protect an egg. And Catalans kick on for Amano to score. Drinkwater slots it over, and it's 12-6. Now, most people were in agreement on Twitter. We got a lot of tweets on this about, see what's going on here. And, you know, he was in an offside position. But when you're so close to the line, you've got to take the two, haven't you? You've got to say, right, I might get sent off here, even though it's only the first play of the six.
He was looking at his fullback, though, wasn't he? He was like,
yeah, but his fullback was nowhere near it. Ratchford shat himself after he saw Ashton put his arms in the air.
We're all right. We've got someone back there. I don't need to dive on it. You know, this is the trouble with intelligence, isn't it? Now everyone's
looking
intelligent rather than just diving on it. And going, what the fuck?
I think Ashton should have Dove on it. Whether he'd have got 10 minutes, I don't dove. Think he would.
Dove, is that a new word in the English language? There? It not is, dived. Yeah. Dove.
Doved. Doved and doved and dived. Didn't. But it would have been irrelevant whether I needed to create a new word in the English language or not if Toby King had just caught a straightforward ball.
There was a chap a few years ago in Sydney Harbour who, according to Channel 7 News, dove off a boat. Oh. And I must admit, I was one of many people to write in and say the past tense of dive is dived. But it's an American word. American word. Right, so whether he dove, dived, or whatever else he did, do we need to put Ashton on the wheel clamp list? Are we getting to that stage?
No.
Oh.
No,
I like it, Dennis. Positive. No,
yes,
boom.
Exactly.
Straight in.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping he's going to be one of those players that he's going to give us something special for every, you know, particular error that he may or not make, whatever. So, yeah, keep him off.
Sam, Thulis in, Ashton out. What do you reckon?
Not just yet. Mm-hmm. We were calling for Ashton last year. You two in particular wanted him in at fullback.
Did we?
We've got someone with some exceptional pace, and we've got to give him a run of games.
Okay. 55th minute, Mitchell Pearce touches down, having chased a perfectly weighted kick. Drinkwater cannot miss, and we're 18-6 down. Was this the moment we thought, "Oh, here we go"? Was this where it all went a bit sour?
Yeah, I can't remember which way round they were. Did this try come off the Magnum PI penalty or not?
I think it did.
Yeah, because I know Daryl said that he slowed it down on TV and he actually wasn't offside, but in real time it looked like he'd shot out the line, didn't he? When we had him under so much pressure trying to them come out of defence and they were tiring, and moments later they score and they've got that gap and suddenly belief that they were going to win.
Did you watch the game in real time, Dennis, or were you painting?
No, I'd finished painting. I was slightly inebriated, I have to say. And I'm just
methylated spirits.
Yeah, terps. And I'm just thinking, Daryl, it's quite suggestive, isn't it? If he's slowed the game down, does that mean he's got Sky and a decent system then? Because I couldn't slow the game down.
67th minute. It wasn't bad enough following an embarrassing offload from Cooper in vain trying to find Williams. Catalan's break to score down the other end. Gudemund with the try and Drinkwater with the conversion. And it's 24-6. Felt sorry a bit for Cooper there. He was doing the right thing. He was the only one coming onto the ball. Came onto it at terrific speed and went through the gap. For a second, I was like, who's this? But then, oh dear, it was a bit all messy, wasn't it, that ball. I noticed the Warrington the Warrington Wolves stream wrote on Twitter, didn't quite make the pass. Although someone did reach out to us on Twitter and said, yeah, some bloke who lived in Orford said the pass came closer to him than it did to Williams. So. Oh, what a mess. What a mess, boys. Hey? Game
however,
got away from us, didn't it?
However,
yes. Come on, Sam.
However, the little silver lining of the cloud was yet to come with top of the try scoring charts. Top of the try scoring charts.
Yeah.
Two late consolation tries by Charlie to keep him top of the Super League table, as Sam points out. Ratchford makes it 3-3, but it's all worth nothing. Wire 18, Catalans 24. Daryl Powell after the game said that was poor right from the start. It was disappointing on every level. The mentality has to change 100%. We were looking for 1% under a coach who shall not be named. We've now added a 99% buffer onto that, Dennis.
Yeah. I think his analysis and mentality, and we talked about defence, and we go back to the Toulouse game and the end of it, and it was all a bit sloppy and this, that, the other. I don't know what's missing, but you have got to look at defence and think, I do think, you know, it's not as strong now. But we're a lot more confident with the ball. And when that doesn't work, you know, we're back to that sort of, well, you can't win a game with no defence. So, yeah.
Tricky, isn't it?
Do you want a couple more percentages?
Oh, yes, please, Sam.
Yes. Josh Charnley has scored 8 of our 19 tries. That's 42% of the tries we've scored so far.
Yeah. How many have I scored?
Only 6 out of 19. That'll be just below 33%. So that'd be 30-ish percent.
Just check Steph 31.57% then.
Yeah, Steph Ratchford, 15 out of 19 conversions. It's 79% is kicking. We've got Sneed currently going at 82% and Reece Martin at 82%. And Drinkwater has only taken 5 conversions, but he's at 100%.
Yeah, one of those. Here's one for you. Charlie has moved into 3rd in the all-time Super League try-scoring list on 203 tries. 2nd is Ryan Hall on 212, and retired Danny Maguire is top with 247. In comparison, before the competition was rebadged, Martin Afaya scored at Widnes and Wigan a combined total of 367 tries. But to make them all pale into insignificance, Brian Bevan, playing at Wire alone, scored 740 tries, meaning that if you doubled Afaya's tries, he'd still be short of Bevan's record. And you could add Maguire, Hall and Charlie's tries together, and they'd still be 78 tries short of Bevan.
Wasn't that, though, because he played till he was about 60?
No. No, most of his tries after that come at other clubs. He gets a few more at other clubs. But Ryan Hall's not far off him, as to his Charlie. They're only about 5 years off him now.
Yeah.
So he did about 20 years, Bevan, all up at the top of his game.
Yeah.
But some of these guys have been around since the 20s. They're turning 34 now. So I think we don't need to change the podcast name to What Would Josh Charnley Say at any time soon.
No, definitely not.
I think that's fine. A few comments that came to us. Thanks for everyone who wrote in. Just a few here that sort of maybe sum up the game quite well. Phil Rogers has written in. Widdop and Williams remind me of my old shift pattern. 1 week on, 1 week off.
Well, I go back to the forwards then again because, you know, they don't get a chance, do they? They're struggling at the moment. Why is there all this negativity anyway? Where's it all coming from? Why is everybody think the wheels fell off Darryl's cart?
Oh, Dennis, it's the modern way. You're either brilliant or you're shit. You're never anywhere in between, are you?
I mean, you know what? We're doing this podcast, I don't know how often now, but, you know, we were really positive. We were seeing all this. We'd won 3 out of 3.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes, you know, you couldn't do anything wrong. And just because we've lost one game, we're like, you know,
and I've jumped on the bandwagon because I've had 17 messages from Darryl Powell since the start of this season. I can actually run through what I've had.
Hold on, can we just say, describe what you mean by a message?
Well, I write to him and he sends me an emoji back.
Ah, right, excellent. Thank okay, right. That's what it is.
So I've had, all up, I've had 27 thumbs up, 6 smiley faces and a little bit of a paragraph on Connor Wrench.
Was it a paragraph?
Well, no, it was a sentence.
Was it a sentence?
It was a couple of words. Either side of
the emoji. Was it a couple of words?
Listen, I've deleted him from my phone. I've deleted him from my phone, boys, yesterday.
It was, in fact, just 2 letters. It was H-A-H-A.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, okay. Nick Scholes, standard performance by ourselves. Thinking they just have to walk out on the pitch with Catalans missing so many. That come into play, Sam? I mean, was it all about mentality?
Well, the coach is suggesting that it is, and I do not for 1 minute believe there's anything deliberate there. Players don't deliberately switch off, but both the guy who's written in, whose name I've forgotten already, and you only said him moments ago.
Nick Scholes.
And Darryl Powell both mention it. And you've got to be focused 100% at top level sport because they might not be quite as good as you. They're still, you've got to be relentless in your pursuit of performance.
Think anyone does a double take when he says his name's Nick Scholes and thinks he's Nick Knowles? What do you think? Think he ever gets that?
No. I wondered whether he was short and ginger and he was actually like Paul Scholes.
I did think that as well. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Final one, then we'll give it to Wazza. Wazza always writes in, and he is a patron as well, so he definitely gets a shout out on this podcast. Well done, mate. He writes in to say, if Powell put this team together, I would say sack him now! Exclamation mark. The fact he didn't then suggests Fitzpatrick and the coach who shall not be named have ruined us for the next 2 years. Fitzpatrick has turned us into a gimmick club. Up to Powell to turn this around. Massive rebuild.
Well, I think that's what's going on. And, you know, this loss is part of the whole evolution of what Daryl Powell's going to do. He's using it. It's one game. And, we need to get a loss. He needs to be able to... Players need to see the reaction from him in this situation because they've not experienced it yet. And, let's listen to what he's got to say. And, you know, it's down to a mental thing. It's a good job we've got tackle books, isn't it? And covering all this mental and psychological stuff.
We touched on the wheel clamping. We've got Charlie King and Philbin wheel clamped. I've suggested possibly Ashton needs to have at least a parking ticket under his windscreen. Any of those three coming off now? Are we still waiting?
Are we still waiting 10 games?
No.
Still 10 games before.
No, we're going to take Charlie off.
Yes, quite right. Quite right.
I'll delete Charlie from that. Okay. Charlie.
King, I'd say let's give him another week because I think, he's showing signs of getting back to his best. So if he has another good week, we take him off.
Okay. Philbin? Okay, I think the response there is pretty easy to see. Powell, do I need to put Powell on the
list? No. he's got a good 10 games yet before we have to get into that conversation.
With Wyatt having now faced two consecutive games against teams from France, I thought I'd try and find a few links between the club of Warrington Wolves and the country of France in a feature that I'm calling the French Connection. Now, I'm not entirely au fait with the French language, if you'll pardon the little pun there, but here are a few facts and stats for you. If you were to set off on a bon voyage from that Halliwell Jones Stadium to France's most famous landmark, the Eiffel Tower, it would take 8 hours and 37 minutes in a car, the equivalent of 6.5 Super League games. The Eiffel Tower is 495 miles away from the HJ, and with Joe Philbin currently making on average 54 metres per game, it would take him 14,752 matches to achieve that total. On the language side of things, the word wire translates as
fil,
whereas price translates as
pricks.
Make of that what you will. Matty Ashton was born in the same year as fellow flying French winger Kylian Mbappe. Though can Ashton really enjoy the success that football's hottest property has in the last few years? Toby King now, whose surname translates as
Roy.
Though I doubt many Wire fans will be queuing up to pronounce Roy Azatezi as a king. Arguably Wire's pièce de résistance, George Williams, partially shares a name with one of the most famous French leaders, William the Conqueror. Though can George conquer Super League for the Wire? Oliver Holmes was renamed Olivier by the podcasters, a nod to Laurence Olivier, a man of great French descent, while it was against Catalans in 2019 that Jack Hughes picked up his gruesome injury and he will be hoping for no deja vu this time around. Jason Clarke was born in the same city as actor Hugh Jackman, star of French film Les Mis, while Billy Magulius shares a birth year with the Bewitched song C'est la vie. In terms of Frenchmen playing for Wire, the most recent is Benjamin Julien, who scored 6 tries in 36 matches before leaving in 2017 and joining Catalans, where he remains today. However, Wire have often found themselves linked with Morgan Escarré and Romain Navarrete. I do like Escarré, he has a certain je ne sais quoi about him. If I were placing a bet on who may be the next French to star for the club, it could be Arthur Moore. Right, that's all, so au revoir and come on the mighty Phil.
Well, there's Daniel with his French connection. He put some work into it, doesn't he?
That was brilliant. Tenuous, tenuous. Although,
good on you, Daniel. Good on you, mate.
Bewitched were. I did have a little liking for Bewitched.
Yeah. There were a few outtakes that maybe we'll just give to the patrons, because he was quite blue on his language in the few of the outtakes he did before he got it right.
Is that why you did that right? I got you now. Yeah. No, that was really good, that, Daniel. I think a lot of thought went into that, which was quite good.
Excellent.
I did like the fact that the person who's on a wheel clumping list is going to take 14,000 matches to get to Paris.
Yes.
Right, the Super League table out on top. It's Saints on 8 points. Wigan have just beaten Toulouse a couple of hours ago. They're on 8 points. Wire in third on 6, alongside Catalans on 6 as well. Huddersfield and Hull and Salford in the middle of the table on 4. Leeds have finally got a win. They move up to 2 points. Hull KR have got... I've got Hull KR down as 2 points. Is that correct? I don't know if they've actually won Hull KR. And Wakefield, 0 points.
Yeah, Hull KR beat Castleford, didn't they?
Oh dear, God, it must be depressing at Castleford at the moment, mustn't it? I've not even... Oh, that's because Castleford are bottom. Sorry, I left two off. Castleford have 0 points and Toulouse have zero. They're on the next page. They're not even on the same page.
Oh,
Jesus. You wouldn't get that with Adam. Wouldn't get that with Adam Hills, would you?
No. Jesus. No. You get a load of shit though, wouldn't you?
Oh, dear. This
week, the RFL suspended Warrington's Dave Chisnell following a late shoulder charge during a game between Swinton and Barrow in BBC Two's 1976 Floodlit Trophy. Following an investigation to find out why there had been such a delay into the suspension, it was discovered that on the state-of-the-art Victorian communication system, a cord had broken on the dumb waiter. Although a spokesman at Super League said that was no way to talk about the disciplinary panel. After the recent disappointing showing of the GB team at the Beijing Winter Olympics, the British Sports Council is to bid for the staging of the 2030 Winter Olympic Games. Skeptics pointed out that it would be hard to match the -20 temperatures seen in Beijing. However, it was confirmed most events would be held at Bradford's Odsall Stadium, as the venue could freeze the balls off a brass monkey. And finally, Channel 4 Films have announced they are in early talks to produce a motion picture about the life of late Liverpool comedian Ken Dodd. Channel 4 said talks were ongoing with several well-known leading actors as to who will play Doddy, but did go on to say the Warrington Wolves forwards are locked in to play the Diddy Men.
Well, there's the headlines. A bit of injury news. Daryl Powell confirmed Connor Wrench has aggravated an old back injury during training, diagnosed as a stress fracture. And Sam's neighbour, Billy Magulius, is yet to resume full fitness. Both players are expected to be out for another 4 to 5 weeks. You've got to get him out of that bungalow. It's cursed, that bungalow, Sam.
It's exactly the same as with Greg Inglis, isn't it? He gets a little setback just before the season, and then it's 3 or 4 or 5 weeks away.
Have you checked his bins, Sam? Has he got anything going on with his bins?
No, I've not checked his bins at all. Do you want me to double check them this week?
Please, yeah. Well, why don't you go and have a run past now, just to see what he's doing?
Yeah. Have you got one of those headsets? You know, like Dave Birch from Warrington Hospital Radio's got the light on his headband. Could you do that, Sam? He's looking for. Oh, he's putting his headband on now.
He's got one.
He's got a little light on brilliant. The front. Oh, gee, I got Arca's eye then. Welder's eye.
Arca's eye.
Let's Does that see. Still exist, Welder's eye? Or was that something from the 70s that disappeared like Veruca's?
No, I think he's still there. Oh, he's got a red light on the back as well, hasn't he? All right, very good. Go and have a look up his path then in a bit. Brilliant.
He looked like Ryan Sheridan for a second then, didn't he, when he put that on? Right. Warrington say they strongly condemn the actions of a group of youths who damaged the Castleford Tigers supporters bus. Cheshire Police are investigating the incident, with the police and the club working together to identify the little cunts.
Culprits.
Yeah, not good. Channel 4's Rugby League viewing figures dropped slightly from their first broadcast to their second broadcast by 11.86%. Channel 4 confirmed that their figures represent a 6% TV share of the Saturday dinner time schedule, up 43% on the channel's normal figures for that time slot. So they must be happy. I mean, if they're...
I did read that, you know, due to the loss of that percentage, they've now asked Adam Hills not to tell any more jokes. But I played it back and I couldn't see that he'd actually told any jokes anyway. It's fucking shit.
I tell you what, Carney is way better, isn't he? Like, Carney knows what he's talking about. It's just...
Oh, God.
But anyway, what Bevan listener figures grew 0.74% over the same period, lads. So we're doing all right.
Oh,
excellent. A whole heap of players felt the wrath of the disciplinary panel. Classic example being Hull FC halfback Luke Gale. Gale was set to miss 3 games after being charged with the offences of lifting an injured player and a high stud challenge. Having appealed against the charges, an independent tribunal decided to impose an extra 2-game ban, bringing Gale's suspension up to 5 matches. Now, Dennis, you mentioned this the other week. There's no point appealing.
What is the point? I want to go back to that. You've put down the offence of lifting an injured player.
Yeah.
Is that an offence?
Yeah. You can't pick him up like in football. So when he does Lomax's shin with his studs,
yeah,
he's then trying to say that there's nothing wrong with Lomax. So as he runs back past and the physio's trying to sort of deal with Lomax, he just tries to pick him up and put him back on his feet.
But that is actually written down as an offence, lifting an injured player.
Well, I don't know what it's classed as. It'll come under some law, won't it?
Yeah, it's interesting they seem to know that law, but not the one about you put the ball on the floor and you heel it backwards with your foot. They don't seem to know that law.
We've had this has spilled over into our What Bevan panel this week. Because, you know, we're running with the exact same theme from the panel. You know, you're sending your results, no caveats, no talking back. 12 of the panel, beautifully mannered, they respect, I think they've all played rugby league, they respect the referee, but 2 of them, loose cannons, and we've dealt with them this week.
Can I just say, yeah, there'll be nobody left on this panel in a few weeks. It should be you talking to each other in your own echo chamber.
I do feel a little bit like Putin. I do feel that I've boxed myself into a corner and I've got nowhere to go.
Oh, great.
We put it out there as a vote, with more lengthy suspensions handed out in Super League this evening. Has the game gone soft? 68% said yes, 32% no. It's a tricky one, isn't it? All got to be.
I don't know. Tell me your viewpoint, Mr. London.
Well, I just want consistency. I mean, I don't want to go down that path.
All I want is consistency. And to be fair, if it's the same all year, I've got no problem with it whatsoever.
Thank you, Mr. Robert Hicks.
I just worry we're possibly playing a different game over here in Australia than we are in Super League now. Because having watched a few of the trial games and seen some of the challenges
what you're referring to. Tell us what you're referring to.
It just seems that everything's going on report. Where, you know, and yellow cards are no longer sufficient. Just, okay, you've got a yellow card. You went a bit high there. It doesn't need to go to the disciplinary.
Mm.
You know, like Olivier Holmes, yes, you know, he gets a yellow card and you think, all right, well, that's fair enough. You know, it was all a bit messy. And then before you know it, he's got a 2-game ban. I mean, stupidly, frivolously, we appealed.
But you're right there, actually, Rob. I was going to raise that Holmes got a yellow card that was looked at by the referee and the video referee, who clearly don't know the rules, or the match review panel don't know the rules, because the match review panels deemed it was worthy of a ban, therefore the video ref should have sent him off.
Yeah, it just, Mitchell Pearce got sent off the other week for a yellow. Mm. I wasn't watching it. I was kind of eating toast or something, and I looked up at the screen and he was already on his way. But just the look on his face, he was shaking his head as if to say, what the fuck have I got myself involved in here? Like, you know, guy who's played year after year in the NRL, just looked bemiffed that,
I think,
what is going on here?
I think the underlying principle of taking headshots out of the game is correct.
Yeah.
So the underlying principle is correct. The way they're going about it doesn't seem quite right.
No, I mean, we're playing a game that has got contact, and, you know, it's inevitable that with players running around like they are and trying to do this, that and the other, you're going to hit the head. I think that it's about eradicating it from the obvious ones where, you know, it's in the old days or whatever, if you were, you know, where you've got a clenched fist and, you know, what was the one that Adrian Morley got sent off for against Australia? You know, that type of...
Absolutely recklessly flying in to try and smash,
you know, that's the sort of thing. That then, you know, ban them for sort of 10 games for something like that and then just but let everything else go, and it's just part and parcel of the game, unfortunately.
Mm. The Morgan Knowles one, that was a bit of a swinger. That was a bit, you know... That was a bit naughty, wasn't it?
But... So we'll have a swingers offence. That's what we'll have.
Sean Wayne has named his first England training squad in the lead-up for this autumn's rescheduled World Cup. The team consists of 30 players made up from all 10 English Super League clubs, five of which play for Warrington: Cooper, Williams, Clark, Ratchford and Curry. Eight come from Saints, five from Wigan, five from Wyre, three from Leeds, two from Catalans, two from Huddersfield, two from Castleford, one from Wakefield, one from UKR, and one from Salford. Although, admittedly, that is Sargentson, so clearly Wayne's just picked him as another Wigan one. NRL players miss out: Tom Burgess and George Burgess, Luke Thompson, Josh Hodgson, Dominic Young, Ryan Sutton, Herbie Farnworth, Elliot Whitehead, and Olivia Gildart all miss out. And finally, following their split in 2018, the Rugby Football League and Super League are proposing a realignment.
So that was a load of money on Elston, spaffed up the wall, wasn't it?
Spaffed up the wall. Is that the name of the episode? Spaffed up the wall. Brilliant.
Forget the statistics. Sam can't be asked. It's time for Sankey's Rant. Get your gammon here. Sankey's Rant. It's gammon overload. Certain to make a woman drier than Gandhi's flip-flops. I said Sankey's Rant. 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 Sankey's Rant.
Okay, this week there will be one caveat, but not on the title. The title this week is called The Not Very Super League, or perhaps should it be The Failure of Super League. Sean Wayne announced his England training squad this week, and as Rob's just said, I know there's a few over in the NRL, and the players that come in, but generally, I was so underwhelmed at this squad. In 1996, Super League came in with a huge fanfare about raising standards, both on and off the pitch, and developing players to the very top level. But I'm going to highlight this failure by looking at Sean's squad and comparing it to 1996. Ooh. That doesn't mean we've not got some good players in Super League. We have got some good players, but I'm struggling to find any of them that are great players.
What you could have done there was, Sam, you could have actually said Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, yes. Well, in Wayne's
rant?
World, no. In Wayne, no. This is where I'm going to back up my rant about, and this is probably why I didn't bother buying a season ticket this year. This has been
another reason
for a while. So in Wayne's World, his fullbacks are Niall Evels, Steph Ratchford, Jack Welsby, Zach Hardacre and Sam Tompkins. If he'd have been picking a squad in 1996, he'd have probably picked Chris Radlinski, Steve Prescott or Yestin Harris. And I'd probably have gone with Chris Radlinski there above any of those fullbacks he's picked. For the wingers, he's picked Liam Marshall, Tom Davis, Tom Makinson, I think is a good player. Ryan Hall was is the last of that great Leeds team, but he's about 94. He's nearly Brian Bevan's age, as you said. And Jermaine McGilvery, who I like, but the last 2 years he's not been near.
Is he still around?
Yeah, still, yeah, they've picked him as well. Yeah.
Where's he playing now?
Do you know what? I'll give you playing in 1996. Jason Robinson and Martin Afaya are off here. And as backups to them, you could have had Anthony Sullivan, John Bentley, Francis Cummings. So I'm going with Robinson and Afaya there.
Francis
against...
Cummings was shit.
Yeah, well, I just picked.
We went to watch the Kangaroos play Leeds at Headingley, Dennis. Do you remember? And it was about, 60-0 after about 20 minutes. Yeah. And on one occasion, Kangaroos moved the ball to the right and Cummings was marking Mal Meninga. and Meninga caught it about 6 inches from the line with Cummings in front of him. And passed it to Ettinghausen to score. Like he would have put the guy in the bloody back row of the stand. I remember just laughing and thinking, Jesus, it was a different.
We got back to my house, by the way, for half time.
this in some ways, from a point, even these great players didn't beat the Kangaroos. So God help this lot in centre. This train on squad has got Kai Pearce-Paul, who does look like he's got something about him, but he's only played a couple of games. Harry Newman, Reece Lynn, Jack Wardle, Mark Percival, Dan Sargentson, bloody hell. Or against them, I'll give you Paul Newlove and Gary Connolly, backed up by Keith Senior. So, I'm going with 1996 again. In the halves, Lewis Dodds, again, young lad, might end up being good. Johnny Lomax. Bit surprised George Williams wasn't there. But I'll go up against that with Sean Long, Sean Edwards, Bobby Goulding. And backed up by Mark Ashton and Ryan Sheridan was playing in 1996. Yeah. So at the minute, the entire backs I'm taking from 1996. No. Because the ones currently are nowhere near that standard. Okay. Props. Mike Cooper, Matty Lees, Alex Walmsley, Mikhailov Oleski. I knew I'd struggle on that. But back in 1996, you've got Rob's best friends, Terry and Barry, Carl Harrison, Kelvin Skerritt, Lee Crooks. I'll take the 1996 front rowers. Thank you very much.
What's special about 1996, Sam? Is it
that was
it
when
music?
Super League started. That was when Super League started. And that was where we were meant to be getting better from. We've gone backwards.
I'm glad we've just highlighted that point. I was just looking at what music were you listening to in 1996? Beck Odley came out. That was a good album that came out.
Would it be a bit of a take that, I'd have thought, about 1996,
oh,
Dennis?
For fuck's sake.
Back row. Now, I will concede John Bateman, very good player. And Farrell at Wigan, our own Ben Curry, Morgan Knowles. But I'll give you in 1996, Chris Joint, Adrian Morley, who was playing second row at the time, Andy Farrell, Paul Sculthorpe, Sonny Nicol. Take any of them.
Mm. And did they win in 96?
No, that's the point. And at Hooker, we've got Darrell Clark, Paul McShane, Cruz Leaning against one Kieran Cunningham. Backed up by James Lowe's. I'd take Kieran Cunningham over any of those three, even though I really like Darrell Clark. So, I'll give you a bunch of good average players in Wayne's World squad against a team of Super League outstanding players who weren't good enough to beat the Kangaroos, which means I think this lot have not got a hope in hell.
And also, I reckon if you got the 96 Kangaroos side, which would have been full of superstars, and you put it against their team of 2022, I'd expect you pick most of the team in 2022.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Trbojevic. Jeez. Can you imagine it? Trbojevic. I bet he's looking at our fullbacks. Niall Evans. Oh, I wonder what will happen if I play him. I tell you what. I'll run backwards quicker than him. That's what'll happen.
Hang on. will we be playing this game at Wakefield or anything like that? That might give a bit of a even balance.
Even it
up.
Yeah.
We need a very, very wet day, and we need to play at a football stadium where they've cut the grass to about 2 millimetres, so everyone's falling over. The Australians have all got the wrong studs on. That's the only hope we've got. Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to finish by saying...
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
That's not being disrespectful to any of these individuals.
Is it time for your run, Sam?
It's about time for the run. I'll shut up. But what I'm actually thinking
is... You are different when you've not had a drink.
Should I have the Tiger Gin before I go for
go on,
a run?
In one. Yes. In one. Drink the whole lot in one. That's what you need to do. So. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Warrington, I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Fee-ee-ee bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Wah-ah-ah.
First one's coming from Mrs. Starbucks. She's writing from the city of Atlantis. I'm really liking Sankey's rant section. Jesus. And would like to agree entirely with Sam and his anger towards the incorrect play of the ball. You've got a bit of a fan, Sam. As a woman with a foot fetish, I personally would like to see all the players play the ball barefoot and referees such as Ben Thaler wear nothing but flip-flops. My sexual desires came on during Channel 4's Rugby League coverage, but unfortunately, Adam Hills did nothing for me. Perhaps it's because with him only having one leg, he could only ever fulfil 50% of my fetish. From now on, I'm only watching Sky Sports coverage and Brian Carney. As when it comes to my foot fetish, Brian's my Achilles heel. In fact, he can stick his foot in my pink safety deposit box all the way up to my Achilles heel if he'd... who's vetting these? Sankey, you said you'd vet these. Let's move on to more sort of level playing field and come back down to earth. Peter Sutclifford from Grappenhall.
Oh, God.
Only a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were doing our weekly shop at Tesco's next to the Halliwell Jones. On the return to my lorry, we noticed it had been wheel clamped. My wife pointed out that it may have something to do with the rugby league ground. I have to say I detest any sport, and in a moment of madness, I notice what I presume to be a rugby supporter's team bus. I threw a packet of 72 frozen fish cakes and a Battenberg cake at the windows. It felt great at the time, but I went hungry for my tea. In future, I'll be shopping at Asda, taking my chances with all the norms in the pikies. Greg Yogurt from the Greek island of Antipasto. I would like to complain about the free bar section. Why, oh why, week after week, do you feel it okay to read out stories belittling the Greeks? Can I point out it was the Greeks who invented medicine, and their sanitation, although appalling in comparison to modern day, was groundbreaking at the time. I note a recent archaeological dig at the old Wilderspool ground unearthed what they thought was an ancient Greek sewerage system, although following carbon dating, it turned out to be just the old Fletcher Street and urinals.
Oh, dear.
Rosie Buchanan from Darsbury.
Oh, God.
Hang on. What?
All right. Is there a lot to say on this one?
Not too much.
Or do it she with works, the accent.
She works in a laboratory at Darsbury.
Do it with the accent.
I'm not doing any accents. Never mind global warming and all this rain. Why, only last Thursday I spotted from our lookout on the laboratory tower Josh Charley and Steve Broomhead fishing on the River Mersey. Their boat didn't look very stable, and I'm worried if they return for another catch and the professor topples in the water, there'll be a tsunami from Bridgefoot to Albert Dock.
Oh, dear.
What's the water levels like in the Latchford Locks at the moment, Sam? Is it quite high? Is it just
No, it's just normal. Why? What's it like with you in Sydney?
Ah, ridiculous. I've got a leak on my roof.
You know what? You're going on about this. I had my carport blew away, my chimney blew down, and I was without electricity for 48 hours. Jesus Christ. It's a good job I've got a wind-up radio for Christmas.
And the last one, Freddie Larkers from Ringway. I was really impressed with Warrington's great marketing idea at the start of the Castleford game by having the rugby league ball sent to the kicking tee by miniature electric car. Can I suggest as the Wolves' next marketing stunt, they have the ball delivered by drone? Not a bad idea, is it? He says, I own a drone and often attach it to my Canon EOS 90 camera with remote-controlled telephoto lens. The camera is of similar weight to a full-size rugby ball, so may I assure the club that even with the extra load, my drone hovers perfectly in front of the cracking young nurse's box bedroom window that lives two doors down from me. Oh. And due to the brilliance of the drone's inbuilt gyroscope system, I can clearly see from my aerial photo reconnaissance that her crotchless knickers are not up to NHS PPE standards.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Oh, Darryl, you are a magician. The bar's absolutely heaving tonight. The punters are jammed in tighter than the Polaroids in an Eddie Fuller's Miss Warrington photo album.
What did I tell you, Ralphie? Put on the entertainment and they'll turn up quicker than Professor Broomhead at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
And to think all this time, front of house Pitts Factory was running with this marketing idea of buy one fizzy beer and get one fizzy beer free. All served with a packet of fondling line and pork scratchings, I may add.
Oh, dear, Ralphie. It's clear our CEO has been pulling nothing but froth for years.
Oh, tackle sacks.
What the people of Warrington want, Ralph, is a strong point, not one full of egotistical marketing bubbles. That's a good one, isn't it, Ralphie?
Oh, easy, Tiger. Where have you been all my life, Dazza? You're such a refreshing change.
Oh, that reminds me, Ralphie. Have you partaken in our latest hope brew?
Oh, I don't think I've had the pleasure. I'm actually quite gagging for a pint, Darryl, if you don't mind. And my mouth's as dry as a Ken Davies wanking sock.
Hang on a second, Ralphie. Just like that, I'll check with the cellar man. Cooper to Cooper.
To change the barrel, Darryl.
Yes, Coops. Take off the Philbin's sweaty sock ale. And put on a new keg. Just like that. Now listen here, Ralphie. Don't be put off by what it looks like. That heavy, inactive, cloudy, sterile sediment can be siphoned off.
Well, that's no way to talk about Rob Butler.
Here you go, Ralphie. Take a sip of that.
Well, Matt, uppers and unders. That's got a fuller body than a Walter O'Malley bouncer. Oh, I do say, landlord. Do tell me, Darrell, what have you called this one?
I've called it Fletcher Street.
Oh, is that because of the impending aroma hitting your palate as you walk further down the metaphorical road of your Wilderspool taste buds?
No. It's because you'll happily piss anywhere you're standing after more than 2 pints of it.
Anyway, are we sure everybody in here is of a licensed age, Darrell? Have you been checking the IDs? We certainly don't want to get into trouble with the local constabulary, the police.
Nonsense, Ralphie. On my public watch, if you're good enough, you're old enough. No one's barred or benched on my shift. And at the other end of the scale, Ralphie, I'm thinking of starting a pension this afternoon.
Oh, excellent. I'll see if Chris Holt's available. Besides, we need somebody to take a look at the pipes in the gents after Ellis Robson partook in a Benny Westwood 18-inch sausage baguettes eating challenge.
Oh, I thought that was just Flaky Blake stuck in a U-bend.
Oh, no, Darrell, no. I think that shit's well and truly floated off to Leeds. I'm sure after a little bit of time, they'll realise too that he's a bit of a... Oh dear. We really should get that jukebox fixed.
Well, what they want is a strong pint. Wobbly Bob at the Lower Angel. Do you remember Wobbly Bob at the Lower Angel?
Yeah. I remember Wobbly Bob.
Where was the Lower Angel? Was that the one opposite Benetton?
What Market Street?
Just before you get to the...
Just up from the Odeon, down from the Skittles. Just down from town centre, yeah.
It's been there longer than you.
Not the one that I'm thinking of. What's the one next to the central station on the corner?
The Prince of, that used to was the Prince of Wales, wasn't it?
The Theatre Tavern.
The Theatre Tavern before that.
Full of bikers.
And the hot pole opposite it. Yeah. Anyway, and I thought there was no need to bring Ken Davies into it. That did give me a bit of trauma. But... I pulled it back by reminding us all that when you went for a piss under the clock, Fletcher Street end, it was at least 2 inches deep.
Yeah. You're liking this series, Sam?
I think he prefers this series.
Well,
he
does. I really look forward to the first minute of it every week.
Yeah.
And I really thought this week I was going to find out what was on that bloody jukebox because you could just hear it just starting to come in before... Unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh well, keep trying. Right, this is quite interesting this week, isn't it?
Sent that book out first of all to that Stephen lad?
But I have found it, so I will be sending it this week.
Do apologise.
I'm decorating. I've got everything piled up everywhere. It's fucking. I'll get round to it. Anyway, so far on Tackle Box Literature Journey, we've looked at the influence of players and crowds from a psychological point of view. This week on Tackle Box, we'll look at the nutrition of the team with the help of our next book. Now, this is going to be to gain an understanding on what would be the ideal dietary requirements for the Warrington Wolves players and what's needed to achieve their maximum energy performance. Yes, as suggested on the last podcast, we will be delving into that childhood favourite, The Hungry Caterpillar, by Eric Carle. Now, it's only 20 pages long and mostly pictorial, making it suitable for most rugby league players. The font is Bodini Condensed. Nothing to do with Bodine Thompson, but it could be his font. We'll jump right in. Page 1-3. Now, this describes an egg that on a leaf that hatches out to become a caterpillar. Now, I'm going to use this as a metaphor for the beginning of the journey of a player's development. Now, the story of the hungry caterpillar is the development of a caterpillar to gain strength and bulk up, ready for the transformation into a butterfly. The emphasis on nutrition was clearly in the forefront of the caterpillar's mind, looking for food with nutritional benefits that would enable it to take the next step and have the strength to go for the next level, in this case, to a butterfly. Much like the player's strength and conditioning, we can draw a parallel to the hungry caterpillar and look at the caterpillar's secret to enabling and succeeding, where the players of Warrington Wolves can capitalise on a similar diet of the caterpillar. So, page 4, straight off, the caterpillar goes and eats an apple. It's 52 calories, and an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So that's a great way to start. Page 5 is a pear. It's 101 calories. You'll rarely get an upset stomach when you eat a pear because its low acid level is very gentle on the digestive system. In fact, the ancient Greeks used it as a remedy against nausea, which explains why Billy McGoolies advocates a pear before watching his highlights reel. Page 4, we've got eats a plum.
Can I just ask, what are you, Sam? Are you orange juice or apple juice?
Oh, well, we'll get to that again in a minute. A pear... we've just done a pair. We're on page 4. It's a very long book. Page 4 is a plum. It's 30 calories.
I've not finished this book, so are you going to give away the answer at the end of the...
I might do. 30 calories for a plum. It's good for making wine, full of vitamin C and fibre to keep the team regular. And I think Cal Fitzpatrick should... Have a think about that. Get the shit out quick. Page 6 or page 5. This is page 6, I think. Strawberries. It eats a strawberry. 43 calories. The ancient Romans believed that strawberries alleviated symptoms of melancholy, fainting, all inflammations, fevers. Pretty much where you sat, Sam, I think. We should be giving out strawberries. It's rich in nitrate. Can increase the blood flow and oxygen to the muscles by 7%. It prevents muscle fatigue. They're good for your bones and hormones. They can prevent memory loss. So probably a good idea to have them when talking about Steve Price. Page 7, oranges, 73 calories. Can you think of a rhyming name for an orange?
No, there isn't one.
That's a myth. There's a mountain in Wales called Blorange, and spores are made in a sac called a sporange, although Jack Hughes was unable to comment on that particular fact. Oranges can aid hair growth. The high vitamin C content in fresh navel oranges is often associated with hair growth. But we've since found out that Chris Hill was allergic to oranges, and that might explain that. Page 8, the caterpillar ate a chocolate cake, 249 calories. The blood in the film of Psycho shower scene was actually chocolate syrup.
Was it really?
Yeah. Chocolate contains high levels of powerful stimulant called theobromine. This theobromine can be poisonous and create heart situations, acute kidney damage and so on. However, to ingest enough of the substance, it could be fatal. But you would have to eat about 22 pounds of chocolate or 40 dairy milk bars. Professor Broomhead has been placed on the club's watch list and forced to wear a straitjacket at the 40-20 buffet. Page 9, the caterpillar eats an ice cream cone, 170 calories. It takes 12 pounds of milk to produce just 1 gallon of an ice cream. It's a high source of calcium for bone strength. The average number of licks to finish a scoop of ice cream is 50, or in Toby Tongue King's case, about 3 licks. Page 10, pickles. Eats a pickle, 14 calories. Explorer Christopher Columbus used pickles to help prevent scurvy amongst the crews of their ships.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else on that. The only thing I could think of resembling a pickle was steady on. Don't give it away.
That's for indigestion. He eats the leaf.
Page
11.
That's
why the gherkin is on the McDonald's burger to aid indigestion. That's the only reason it's there. It's to help you with indigestion.
That's what it's there for.
I worked with a bloke who he had a couple of strokes in the office. Not with a young secretary, as in. And he wasn't allowed to eat strawberries after that. And then another bloke I worked with had a heart bypass, and he too wasn't allowed to eat strawberries. You're not allowed to eat them.
Well,
surely you'd eat them then, wouldn't
it's
you?
It's as though you guys have read this book. Page 11, the caterpillar eats Swiss cheese, a dairy product that features holes in it, a bit like Ratchford's defence against Toulouse, but these holes are called eyes, and actually it's low in salt, and research has shown that Swiss cheese is very good for against heart clots and opening the blood vessels and things. So that's what you should be eating. Page 12, the caterpillar eats a salami, 220 calories. It's usually aged between 30 and 90 days. It's a high-fat protein food. It's a good balance. The best salami is known as fatty cum involta, which means made as it used to be. A bit like Les Boyd, I would think, but I wouldn't say fatty when he's in earshot. Page 13, lollipop, 83 calories, pure sugar in the form of energy. The label from Chupa Chup lollipops was designed and illustrated by the famed artist Salvador Dali. Page 14, cherry pie. It's a cherry pie, 340 calories for a tartlet. Cherries have an excellent mineral content, vitamin C, potassium. Elizabeth I recorded first eating a cherry pie. It's speculated that Riley Dean has still yet to drop his cherry pie. Page 15, sausages, 145 calories. 500-year-old Cumberland sausage, which is traditionally made from a breed of pig, the Cumberland, went extinct in 1960. Although in 2008, some scientists managed to replicate it and had a 99.6 DNA match to get get the original Cumberland sausage.
Cumberland sausages in Australia. There's too much in it that's banned.
Yeah. Well, apparently the missing 0.4% DNA can be found in Benny Westwood's sausages. So that's interesting. Page 16, it eats a cupcake. Calories, 93. Made from wholemeal flour, these can be a high source of fibre. Apparently, world record eating of cupcakes is 29 in 30 seconds.
Jesus.
There you go. So very high in fibre. Following his attempt, Robbie Magnum Mulhern was cordoned off in the North Stand toilets whilst the resultant high fibre reaction took place. The explosive shit was registered as 6.7 on the newly combined Bristol Stool Richter scale, now known as the rectum scale. Page 17, he ate through a watermelon at 46 calories. Watermelons, hence their name, are 90% water, so obviously very good for hydration. A watermelon is the only food that can be classified as a fruit and vegetable, which does make it confusing, much like the classification of Jason Clark and the position he plays on the pitch. Eventually, the caterpillar gets to the end, and of course, the last couple of pages see the caterpillar ready for the body transformation and ready to fly into the next stage of his career. Page 18, he thought about going vegan and ate a green leaf, and then thought, fuck that. On page 19, he went to sleep for 2 weeks. And of course, on page 20, the final page, he emerges as a beautiful butterfly. So, in summary, with this particular book, I would like to point out that with such a rich source of nutrition outlined in the book, I would like to propose the new Dennis Ingestible Caterpillar Keto System. The Hungry Caterpillar menu provides 1,766 calories per day, delivering the variety of nutrients needed for a world-class rugby league player. So I would like and advise the lead nutritionist at Warrington Wolves to advocate this for the players. So what do you think about that, fellas?
No, but
it's got the perfect balance, you see. This is the thing. Everything that I've described is a perfect balance. Listen, I did try and contact the Warrington Wolves lead nutritionist on Instagram. Her name's Anita Roach.
I bet you did.
To see whether she could be whether this could be used.
Well,
it's funny you should say that. I had a bit of a struggle here. What I actually wrote to her was, would you like to look at my Hungry Caterpillar idea? As a leading professional nutritionist, I would value your feedback. But the only trouble is, she only got the first bit of it. Would you like to look at my Hungry Caterpillar?
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
On to the predictions. Two games to predict, with Wire firstly heading on Friday night to the Totally Wicked Stadium to play current Super League champions St Helens. The game is live on Sky. And then the following Saturday, it's Channel 4 again as Warrington hosts Wakefield at the Halliwell Jones for a lunchtime kickoff. We'll have a quick listen, first of all, to the HAL computer to see exactly what their prediction is for these two games.
Hello, my name is Halliwell Jones, known as the Big HJ computer. But as the singer Paul Simon said, you can call me HAL. Here are the results of the all-male What Bevan panel. Honestly, with all this male chauvinism, you'd think it was 1975. At least Channel 4 have a female pundit. Even as she is a bit shit. Anyway, round 6. St. Helens 24. Warrington 12. Round 7. Warrington 29. Wakefield 12.
Well, there you have it. We'll start with the Saints game. Now, of course, the panel put their predictions together prior to the Catalans match, so they're on the back foot a little bit. We've now seen the Catalans game, Sam, and we've possibly unearthed a few of our problems when we come up against a good team with a big pack. How do you see this one going? Are we going to bounce back, or is it going to be more of the same?
I feel the performance will be better, but it will be a better performance against a better team, so the result will be similar. I am going to say St. Helens 30, Warrington 12.
Wow. That's not far off the prediction, is it? What about you, Rob? What are you going for? Are you going to join that negativity wagon, or are you going to sort of keep thinking positive?
Well, just pulling the socks up isn't going to make any difference at Saints. We've got issues amongst our forward pack. Saints have got the best forward pack in the competition. Wormsley's on fire at the moment. I just can't see us getting anywhere near this lot. I'm also worried about our defence. We've been letting in some really soft tries. So I think this could be the night that we have 40 put on us. So I'll go Saints 40, Warrington 8.
If you were to write now to Darryl Powell and say, this is what you need to change, Darryl, what would you actually write in that text?
I'd say you need to be knocking on Simon Moran's door, saying that the sooner we buy two big props, the better. Because as I said in the first episode of this podcast, we can't currently win Super League with our forward pack.
And what emoji do you think he'd come back with that?
Fuck off!
I'm going to go for a Warrington win. 28 Ooh. Points to Ooh. 20.
He's been sniffing Ooh. Too much of those paint fumes, Sam. That's his problem.
No, well, we do this. We do come up with a result like that every now and again. I just don't think it'll be this week.
Hurrell won't be playing. Didn't Hurrell get... He got a yellow card, didn't he?
Oh, so that's a shame.
He'll appeal against that and get 20 matches.
He's easy to run round anyway, isn't he? He's just like the bloody wheelie bin.
You've done a lot of painting this week, Dennis.
I keep saying it, yes.
If you had to sort of have, you know, someone to help you do the painting around the house down there at Mr. Waywell's house, which Warrington player would you choose? Who do you think would be best at sort of helping you get to those cracks in the ceiling?
I'd probably pick Jason Clark because he's just like fumbling around on the floor. He could do all around the skirting board.
Wire versus Wakefield, Sam. So you've got us on as a loss over at Saints. Are we going to then bounce back against Wakefield?
Yes, we're going to. On TV, on Saturday, the weather will be a bit nicer. And yes, we will bounce back considerably there.
Mm-hmm.
38-16.
Okay. Dennis?
I think this will be a close match. I think this will be like 24 points to 22, but still a Wire win.
Okay. Guess it comes down to how shit a Wakefield, doesn't it? Just where do they rank in the how shit a Lee scale? So, yeah, I think we will bounce back. I'll go 28-12 to Wire. We've currently, last year, from our first six games, we won four, lost one and drew one. So we just need one more win, Sam, out of these two games, and we are in a better position than we were 12 months ago.
Can we have a graph that shows like price and power with the little heads on it, and then we can see who's in front at which...
You mentioned him again!
Okay, that's it. If you want to support the podcast and receive this a few days earlier, patreon.com/whatbevan. We'll be back in a couple of weeks following our religious epiphany as we embrace Saints and the Holy Trinity. So from our very own saintly statistical God, it's a bless you, my child, from Sam.
All the best.
And from his holy water spiked with tiger gin, it's a 10 Hail Marys from Dennis.
Best seeing ya.
I'm Rob London, your podcasting messiah. To all our Patreon disciples... You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? You didn't ask me this week, Sam, whether I was naked or not.
I didn't need to ask you. I can see it's frightening.
Oh God. Look at that. Ugh.
There's my hungry caterpillar.
Jesus Christ. That's never going to turn into a butterfly, is it? Christ.
I think it's stuck on the Swiss cheese page. The devil's haircut.